We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
Esa soy yo.
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God, Nyla Simone. We are The Breakfast Club, and we got a special guest in the building. We got Lola Brooke. Welcome.
Tell them your real name, though. Tell them it's Lola Book, because you've been booked and busy all year.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy, but I ain't complaining. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it.
You're getting money.
Now I'm making money.
Okay, you're making money.
I'm making money. New album, Dennis Daughter, is out right now.
Explain that title.
Dennis Daughter. Okay, so I'm the only child, mm-hmm. raised by a single parent, my mom. But I used to hang out with my father here and there. He'd pick me up from school, and everybody would always say, Little D. Mm-hmm. They would call me Little D when they see me with my father, or Dennis Daughter, or whatever mm-hmm. fits. They would always just add him into my nickname, mm-hmm. and I loved it so much. So now I get to, like, relive it, because my father is deceased now, so mm-hmm. I can't get those moments back. Mm-hmm. But I'm, like, creating new moments, and I still feel like he's still around. So
Was that, like, the inspiration behind the song Vacant Heart as well?
Vacant Heart was me just venting. I felt empty. Mm-hmm. Pockets empty, heart mm-hmm. empty. Your soul feel empty sometimes. Like, you just don't know.
Mm-hmm. So that got to be an old record, because your pockets is not empty.
You in her pockets heavy today, Nala. Jesus.
Like, what's going on?
But, I like to see people doing good.
But mm-hmm. is it an older record, though? Because it sounds like it was a time before now.
Honestly, I did that record this year. So basically, this whole entire project is me just reflecting on my life as mm-hmm. I'm coming up. So I finally felt comfortable enough to finally just talk about my true feelings and what I was mm-hmm. going through. So Vacant Heart is pretty new.
Was that a tough song to record?
It was so fast. Wow. Probably like 15, 30 minutes, like straight through. Mm.
But that's just how you record. Because I've been in the studio with you. You take like 5 minutes, then go lay it, and then you're done.
And it's crazy because I thought I was taking long. I'm like, Dad, Nyla in here. She probably like, girl, you still not finished yet?
No, you're a beast with that.
But emotionally, was it tough, though?
I wasn't in the room. See, when I'm recording, I don't really be in the room with a lot of people.
Gotcha.
So I'm very much comfortable, and whoever's in the room, mm-hmm. I probably done been in a vulnerable space around them already. So
it doesn't matter.
It's cool. And then the engineer, I don't see the engineer. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus. So I'm cool.
Let's start from the beginning. So for people that don't know Lola Brooke, where did you get your start from? Why did you start rapping? And how did you get your deal?
Okay, so honestly speaking, the people's chose. Well, I always say rap chose me. I didn't choose rap. It was just always there, and the people's, like the citizens of New York City, was just like, yo, look, listen, you nice. I know this is a hobby for you, but you should take it serious.
So what were you doing between that? Because you said it was a hobby. So what else were you doing?
Just working a 9-to-5. Like, I was always a 9-to-5 girl. As soon as I turned 18, the first thing I did was go get a job.
What was your first job?
Little Caesars. Pizza. Pizza. I ready.
Little Caesars. God is the funniest person alive. God is so amazing. God's sense of humor.
I am ready. Yeah, so I would just go to the studio just for a hobby. I started taking it serious. It's another artist from Brooklyn. His name Bleezy. Mm-hmm. He wanted to do a song with me, so I featured a song on him. I went to the studio. I ended up bumping into his team, Team 80, my mentor 80. I met him. And then just being around, knowing like, oh, okay, this is how music videos go. Mm-hmm. This is how the studio process go. Like, you get to like relax. Because when I was going to the studio, 2 hours, that's it. It was like $40 an hour. I got $80 and that's it. But with them, they was just so relaxed and everybody was just so creative, and I fell in love with it. And I was like, wow, so this really is my destiny. Mm-hmm.
So now when you got your deal, so I remember, shout to Sav, I went to college with Sav. He called early on and was like, I got this artist, she's dope. And he was calling everybody that he knew. So how did you get with Sav, and how did you finally get that deal?
Sav stalked me.
Now, Sav, of course, like, I went to college, Fat Man Scoop's brother as well, for people that don't know. He used to work for Def Jam. And
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Yeah.
I hate you youngin' sometimes. Sometimes I really
used to work at Def Jam with the Jeezy and work for Ross for a while.
I don't know who
siblings.
I know who Fat Man Scoop is, and I know who Sav is. That's crazy.
I knew that regular. I don't even know. I was in South Carolina and knew that for some reason.
I mean, when you was in South Carolina, I was 10, but go ahead.
Whatever. Damn. I still knew that, though. You know what I mean?
But go ahead.
Yeah, he stalked
me. So Sav stalked you. He was playing A&R.
He was like, yo, what's going on, man? You dope. I need to know, like, who, like, where the squad at? I need to speak to them and let's figure this out. It just felt so natural, though, meeting with Sav and Arista. They didn't want to change me, mm-hmm. or my team or what I brought to the table. They thought that it was just a good idea to just keep everything the same. So me just being me, and I don't have to change nothing about me, that was like a relief for me.
Did you have any fear? Because, you know, they always say a woman artist, woman rapper can't pop unless she got like a big male cosign, especially from another male rapper.
See, that's not my case. But if it was, mm-hmm. so be it.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, also not in that era.
Listen, the ladies is doing their thing. Mm-hmm. Ladies is doing their thing.
That is true. Yeah, but this era doesn't really have that as much as past eras. That's true.
But back to meeting with Sav, I will say.
Sav.
I'm so sorry.
Didn't know
Sav.
He was Fat Man Scoop brother. Don't know his name. Wow, Nyla.
Meeting with Sav.
This is crazy. Yeah, disrespect Sav, for the OGs in this game is disgusting.
All I wanted to know was, because you were saying how he called everybody he knew, and he kept saying, like, this record, don't play with it. I know it's old, but I know it's a big record. Were you against repushing the record? Because I feel like artists kind of be over and on to the next. Like, were you excited about the push, or, like, how did that go?
I was excited because who gonna say not to, what? It didn't matter how long it took or how old it was.
It's new to somebody.
It's new to somebody, and this was my real chance. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't going to turn my chance down. I waited for this moment all my life.
And you got such a big voice. Is that something that's natural or something you practice because, you know, you are smaller, so you wanted to sound big?
I mean, when I'm mad, I talk like this.
It's my mad voice. My rap voice is my mad voice. Word. So it's still me.
Mm. Are you talking to Charlamagne?
Yo.
You want to go back to Little Caesars? Let's talk Little Caesars.
Wow.
Let's talk more Little Caesars, bro.
No. Back to your rap voice, the ad-lib, because I feel like your ad-lib is infamous. The how did you come up with that?
I always wanted a stamp I always wanted a stamp to, I'm small, so I always want to be heard. So I was thinking to myself, like, I need to find out a way to be heard without being seen, or my presence is not in the room. And I sat with it for a very long time. So it started off as, I do, Then when don't play with it, when I listen to the beat, it just came out, I'm like, just stutter it or something. And it felt good, so. And then now it's, that's like my Batman call.
Regardless of the voice, you still have a big personality. Like, when you walk in the room, you can feel your presence. When did you first become aware of that presence?
School? My mom been telling me that since I came out the womb. Like, leave my child alone. Like, they act like they, I would go any, my mom would take me on trips, and people would be so fascinated with me, and my mom would be so confused, like, why they keep walking up to you, like, just asking you random questions, or just attachment. Like, people, I have attachment to me when I walk in a room with my presence. But I just, I've never thought anything of it. I just was being myself. And little did I know, I was a whole artist.
Did you have relationships with a lot of the Brooklyn artists beforehand? Because when the record started to pop, I started seeing so many artists bringing you out on their sets, whether it was Kim or whoever it may be. Did you have those relationships beforehand?
No, music broke me into these relationships. See, me, I was so more, I was more focused on my craft. I wouldn't, like, hang out so much. I was always in the studio, literally sleeping, waking up in the studio. So I didn't really get to mingle as much as other artists did. I was just working on my craft. So when I finally felt like I had a good body of work to put out, then that's when I was going outside, and then Don't Play With It start taking off, and I started building my relationships.
What artist supported you the most when you first started popping?
But before or?
Right when Don't Play With It came out.
It's a mixture of a, it's, I don't, I can't even call that. What I can say is Meek called it out from jump, like 2017. Meek was like my first co-sign ever.
So just a tweet, like he just tweeted it or something? What do you say?
Yeah, like he would comment on my stuff. He would post me, his peoples would post me as well. He would say it in his stories or just anything like that. Any way to be supportive within social media. Yeah, he was.
Did he try to sign you too?
Yeah,
but you was already signed at the time.
Yeah, it was like when the talks really came down to it, it was like it's already done. It's already done, bro.
Damn.
So, yeah.
On Vacant Heart, you said you was heartbroken when your mom left for Atlanta.
Yes.
Why didn't you go with her, or did you? I don't.
Because that was, I felt like that was my moment to grow. I wanted to have some type of growth. I wanted her to trust me. I wanted her to feel safe to do what makes her happy, because I can't stop my mom from, this was one of her dreams. You know, a New Yorker always go to get a house in Atlanta. This was part of my mom's dream. And even if I ain't understand it, that wasn't my place to, like, not give her the support. So I just was like, you know what? When she left, I cried like a baby.
How old are you?
Dad, how long has it been? I don't know, but this was like 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago.
But as I'm saying, as a rapper,
I thought she was going to say like 10 years ago. She said like
three, four years ago. No, it was like 3-4 years ago.
But as a rapper, Atlanta's like the mecca of hip hop right now. So you didn't want to, you know what? Like, maybe I should go to Atlanta too and
see but what's up. I'm the only child. You got to understand, my mom treats me like she's going to treat me like a baby forever, and I had to stand on my 2 feet and figure it out. So I didn't know what I was gonna do. She was telling me, like, she left the apartment for me. We was on Section 8. I ended up being on Section 8, so I still couldn't even really, like, pay my rent. But I was telling her, like, I'm good, like, I got an income, like, I'm straight, like, you could go. And she was like, okay. But it was hard. It was tough.
She was by yourself.
Yeah.
Damn. Section 8, now my pocket's straight.
I like that part. Section 8 is in there somewhere in this project. You're going to hear Section 8.
It definitely is an adjustment when you leave home or when home leaves you. I think people like sleep on that, but it definitely pushes you. Like, when my parents left me for college, like, they moved me in and left, it didn't really resonate. Like, oh, y'all are leaving? Like, I got to stay here and do everything myself. But
yes,
you're never too old to like have for that reality check.
It's like the little things that I peep with my moms that she wouldn't think that I know how to cook. And I had to show her, like, one Thanksgiving, I like cook Thanksgiving meal. Like, no, I know how to cook. So that right there was me thinking to myself, oh, she don't, like, she think I'm still her baby. Mm-hmm. Like, she don't know that I'm grown and I can take care of myself. That was like, yo, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Just leave, Mom. I don't want you to, but.
You got to stand at a stool? Stand on a stool at the stove? Or is it?
Yo.
Ask him if he got to stand. Ask him if he got to do the same.
You know he do. I'm taller than you right now. Look at my chin. Look. You know how I do.
There you go. She tall. She taller. She is taller. She is taller.
You know how I do it.
So what did you do with your first check? When you got your first check, because you was on Section 8, what did you do when you got your first check? Where did it go?
My first check, I let go Section 8. I let go Section 8, and I got an apartment, and I saved my money. Like, I didn't go splurging or anything mm-hmm. like that. I gave my mom a couple dollars, too, of course, mm-hmm. and that was it.
What was your first check off? Was it a show? Was it screaming? What was it?
It was like brown paper bags. Okay. You know, like, go coastings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My last question off of Vacant Heart, because I know we keep talking about this record, but I feel like it was just the most vulnerable. But you said dealing with a man who ain't chipping in with the bills.
Mm.
I feel like a lot of women can relate to that at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, everybody go through their circumstances, and I don't judge. But if I'm going through it and you going through it with me, and I feel like there's no changes, I could do bad by myself. So I'm working with you. I don't judge. Mm-hmm. I feel like you got potentials, but obviously you don't see it ain't for yourself. So I just got to walk away from it.
And your experience is different because you went through it. You was on Section 8.
Yes.
You hustled. You got some bread. Got off Section 8. You want to see people take those steps.
Yeah, but yeah. I was on Section 8 while... I was on Section 8, and I'm telling y'all I couldn't even pay my rent. Yeah, and then I'm dealing with somebody that's like, they not a bad person. They actually a good person, but they trying to figure themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
And as they trying to figure themselves out, it's dulling me down as well too, because I'm trying to figure it out. But so maybe we need a break from each other, and we need to go our separate ways to figure out what can we do in life to like motivate us.
Mm.
But I can't keep doing this because the growth is not. It's not
slowing you down.
It's slowing, mm-hmm. yeah.
Did you run into men who tried to suppress your rise? Like they saw you growing, they saw you becoming who you are. Did they try to stifle that?
Yeah.
I was with you when you was on Section 8. Don't act brand new now.
Honestly, it's not a lot of guys that could. No, I don't play them type of games. Like growing up, my mom didn't have me around a lot of men. And if I was around someone, they was doing something for me and her.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't really have those stories with a lot of guys saying, I did this for you. I was very mm-hmm. independent.
Mm-hmm.
Very independent. And not saying that I don't want no help, but I'm not begging for no help, though. Mm-hmm.
How are you navigating through the industry? We hear all these horror stories of women trying to do things and men trying to take advantage of that. Have you had any of those horror stories?
No. Yeah. I'm around so many men, like men don't get the chance to touch me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like really well protected, and I'm very much blessed to even have that experience, because I don't know what I would do if I was in the industry and people was like hitting off me for business or anything like that. But I've been well protected, so shout outs to my team and the bros.
Amen. We love that. Well, we know you got angels, obviously. Yes. And in Dear Dennis, you're talking about having a conversation with one of them, mm-hmm. which is your dad. When was the last time he visited you in like a dream or something like that?
Yeah, that's why I'm like, what's up with him? It's been a little minute. Like I can't even.
You think you just have too much going on, so you can't receive it?
Yeah, it might be that, but sometimes I think to myself, maybe he feel like you got it. Like you don't need me yet. Like I come when I feel like you need some type of reinsurance.
Mm. Those would be the worst ones. Like I've had, like my grandmother passed in 06, and I had like two dreams about it. I'd be feeling the same way. Like, what's up? Where you at?
See?
You know what I'm saying? Don't show me that you still here, but then, you know,
right. Yes.
Don't come around.
It'd be like certain signs that you feel, mm-hmm. but you like, I need to see you and feel you a little bit more. Like, where you at? But it's been a little minute, but I still feel him though. Like, it's days where I stop and I'd be like, all right, I got you.
You ever talk to a medium?
No.
You ever thought about it?
No.
Yeah, that, no. One...
No. No, man. Hold on. What's that? Have you?
Yeah. But I actually spoke to a medium once by accident. Somebody just came up to me and started volunteering information.
That happened to me.
Okay. And then another time, I actually scheduled an appointment with one. Much later in my life. Yeah. Mm.
No, I'm too nervous to do that.
I'm with you. I ain't, nope.
So what happened when they walked up on you? Where was you at?
About to do the BET cipher.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It was in New York?
LA.
LA.
He was telling me about myself, but then after a while, I was getting a little scared because it was just...
Where did he walk up to you? Was he in the store? Hotel?
He was in, I don't know if he was part of... He told me who he was, too, and I just got...
He's part of the BET cipher?
No, he just... I don't even remember.
Was he right about some things? Did he?
Yeah, he was right about some things about myself. And then after a while, he was going a little too crazy for me. Like, I was just like, uh-uh. Like, he would say things like, you're very nurturing. And you take care of people like if your mom, if you're their mom. And you worried about more of them than yourself. And it was so true. So I was like, oh, damn.
That's kind of vague.
Not right now. I got to get this.
Yeah, I'm like, mister, I'm about to do a freestyle for these people. You talk about, I do not feel like crying on that stage. What's wrong with you?
You don't got nobody to rescue you from situations like that, though?
Yeah, where were you, Tree, Sav?
Yeah, word up.
This is what I'm saying.
Y'all need a cold or something.
Like, yo.
Blink your eyes three times or something.
My eyes started like, I was like, oh, here we go. But he was, honestly, it felt kind of genuine in a sense, though. So. Mm-hmm. I didn't really trip. I was more of being a listener than, like, trying to brush him off.
Right.
But then after a while, I was like, okay, miss, I'm not here to be emotional. I'm here to put my feet on the gate right now.
Serious.
So what is the hardest part about being a new artist?
The hardest part about being a new artist is when, in reality, you're really an old artist. So it's like, what you feel like you've been putting out, a lot of people don't know. So you have to, like, cross that bridge and know that it's a billion people in the world that don't know your story. And you have to retell it every time and don't be annoyed by it because people are learning you. So
how's the tour been going? I know you went on a little HBCU run.
It's been lit. Mm-hmm. College kids, what? Man, they show you so much love. And then on top of that, it just feels so good because I always wanted to go away for college, but I didn't get the chance to. I went to college, but...
What school?
McEvers.
Is McEvers a HBCU? I argue with somebody. I don't think it is. Somebody told me it is.
I read it was.
I don't think it
is.
No, I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
I read it. Yes,
we asking you. You went.
Then it can't be.
I went, but you got to understand. I dropped out.
What year?
So I graduated high school 2012. I took a year off and I went 2014. And then it was just over.
And that was over. Rap after.
I had to sit down with my mom. I was like, look, listen.
This ain't for me.
I don't think this is my destiny, Ma. I don't know. I'm gonna figure it out. I'm gonna come back. I told her, like, I'm gonna take a year off from school and then I'm gonna go to college. But Ma, I don't know. I feel like I'm important to the world. I was like, I feel like I'm a star in some way. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to come back and tell you. And she was like, okay.
Dope.
Love that. Now, one of my favorite records on the project so far, I feel like it changes often, but Don't Get Me Started with Koi. So fun. I want to talk about how you guys collaborated because you guys are two of the biggest in the tri-state right now.
Okay, so Koi is a ball of energy just like me. Very petite. It's another artist on there as well. She started off as a songwriter, Nisha. Mm. Mm-hmm. I got Nisha on there. She's from Jersey as well. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do a New York crossover to Holland to New Jersey because it's the East Coast and just unite it. And then we all petite girls, so I knew it would look so good on the screen. You know, like I didn't really see too much petite girls, me growing up. Mm.
Everybody was fat. That's what you're saying?
No, like,
why
no petite
voice?
Like that.
Why you put that voice on it?
That's my voice. That's my rap voice. No, everybody was just, I was always in the front of the line. Like, it's okay. Every time, you know, lining up for the line in elementary school, I was always in the front. It felt good to, you know that I could be a part of girls that's my size, putting on in music and confident as well.
Y'all did records before though, right? Y'all have a...
I'm on Koi Project.
No Angels or something?
Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
got
I'm
you.
On Koi Project.
So y'all been collaborating, y'all been down.
Yeah. We've done like been performing. She brought me out at Rolling Loud in Florida, so Miami, Florida.
How is it to have that person that you can reach out to and talk to about things that's going on in the business, the industry, and they understand?
We have like, we tap in here and there, but I be feeling like we so busy that sometimes as an artist, you don't even really get to tap in to your emotions as you working. Mm. Like, it be just so much. And then when you do finally have the time to like vent, you don't even want to. You be like, man, I got it. I'll be all right. Mm-hmm. You have prep talk to yourself.
That's good when you say the emotions, because I don't think people talk about that enough, to come from basically doing, you know, not doing anything, like you know, just trying to figure it out, mm-hmm. to fulfilling your dream, mm-hmm. and actually having success. Like, that's got to be a different wave of different waves of emotions.
Yeah, because right now where I'm at, I just think about where I came from and saying to myself, what if I would have gave up? Because there's people that doubted me, mm-hmm. and there's people that told me that I should stop. But something in me told me not to stop. So, mm-hmm. like, this is, like, my glory journey right now. Mm. It just told me not to stop.
Now, you sampled the record with Foxy, Get You Home, her song.
Yes.
You kick it with Inga? You kick it with Foxy at all or no?
I kick it with Foxy. Yeah. Foxy don't play. What? She be like, listen, do it and don't stop. And if you stop, I be like, I got you. Don't even trip about it. Mm-hmm. I got you. But she's very supportive, like, I could text her any time of the night. She hit me randomly sometimes too. Just I be needing that though.
Right.
Because Brooklyn Anthem is one of the songs where
let
I was.
Let me tell you where I grew up.
Yeah.
At.
Sit Mo.
And she put the deep voice on similar to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brooklyn Beef, who want that? So I'm like, it's nothing wrong with how I am. I'm aggressive. Mm-hmm. I might be petite. I'm outspoken, but I'm a Brooklyn girl. I used to be so embarrassed on how my image was as an artist, because you know people have their opinions. Oh, she's too rough. I'm from New York City. I don't know what to tell y'all. Like I don't know. I can't be anybody else but myself. So
how'd you develop a relationship with Fox?
She hit me up on Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah, she was like, "Yo, where you from?" I'm like, "I'm from the star." She like, "Oh, word, that's my hood." I'm like, "Yeah," and then we just
connected.
We just connected from there. I think she I feel like she
sees some of herself.
Yes,
in
me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it makes sense, because when looking at her, I was like, I get why I'm the way I am. Mm-hmm. Like, she's from where I'm from.
What game is she giving you?
The grind don't stop.
Okay.
Like, keep going. Don't dull down. Keep working on your craft. Is very important, like, put on for Brooklyn girls.
Mm-hmm. What about your relationship with Kim as well?
Oh, it's phenomenal. Yeah. She brought me out to Apollo for the first time ever. I've never been out there a day of my life. So I'm on stage, like, looking around, observing the auditorium, because I've never been there. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, oh, Kim right here. Oh, I got a mic in my hand. Oh, it's people going. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm performing. She done sent me some flowers, mm-hmm. and things like that. She just embraced me. She embraced me a lot. And it feel good, because I'm telling you, me growing up, I didn't have that much confidence in myself. I was the only child. I didn't have nobody to really speak to. Mom's at work all the time doing doubles, two jobs. So it's sometimes I felt lonely. As an mm-hmm. only child, I was feeling lonely. So these two female artists from Brooklyn, and it's crazy because I wouldn't say that I grew up on their music, mm-hmm. but I'm from Brooklyn, so I grew around mm-hmm. their music, you know? It was like, you had to know who Fox was. You mm-hmm. had to know who Kim was, Biggie. You just had to know.
So what gave you the confidence? Like, what started instilling confidence in you as a young man?
Just, I had journals, I had diaries, mm-hmm. just writing out how I felt, what did I do that day, what do I feel I should do better for myself? Just venting in journals. Mm-hmm. That was my thing. I would always bug my mom to get me a journal so I could just vent in them.
A song like God Bless All the Rappers.
Yeah.
What inspired that?
I'm a rapper. Mm-hmm. Like, I gotta pray harder on rappers because now that I feel I can benefit from this career, I have mm-hmm. to speak up for my community because it's a lot going on and moments happen and the moments are forgotten literally the next following week. So I wanted to bring awareness to that. Like, this is an ongoing thing. Like, don't forget. Mm-hmm. So,
did you ever feel like being a rapper was too dangerous? Like to chase the dream, to want to actually be one? Because you sampled Jim Jones, you know, when he was talking about, you know, being a rapper mm-hmm, is the most dangerous occupation.
No, I never. See, rap for me, it was just a hobby. I never thought of any consequences from it or benefits from it. Mm-hmm. It started with me. It was therapeutic. So when I finally got into the game and now I'm around the business, I'm starting to feel like, oh, since I'm part of this community, things could get real deep really quickly. Mm-hmm. So if you don't speak on it now, it's going to get buried under the rug.
Do you think once you become a rapper, you should leave all the street stuff alone, though? Because even when I listen to the record, I'm like, a lot of these individuals sometimes bring that side of the game into the rap world. It's like, yo, you a professional now. You got an occupation. You make legal money. You don't got to still be moving like you in the street.
I wouldn't say forget about the streets, though.
Not forget.
Like, not forget. But you don't have to. Yeah, it's time to pack it up. Mm-hmm. What's the mm-hmm. point? What's the point of pursuing this career to talk about your pain to still be living in it?
Word. Mm-hmm.
Like that just don't make no sense. So yeah, I would say to better yourself, but you know, you come back to give back. Mm-hmm. That's the only time you come mm-hmm. back is to give back.
I think, sorry to go back to Don't Play With It, but I just want a rough nigga on the tongue. It's such an infamous line now. Is that what you're looking for in a man? Like, what are the things that Lola is looking for? Because now you're in a new place. I know you're not having a hard time finding somebody to come
back. Then ask her the same question.
Huh? Right?
Then ask her the same
you
question.
You want a rough neck nigga on the tongue?
I what got more qualifications.
What does that even mean? A rough neck nigga on the tongue?
Do good at...
Aw.
I can tell you. Poor Jess.
What does that mean?
What?
A rough neck nigga on the tongue?
Oral.
What you underlining and what were you circling?
Okay. But it sounds like you giving, though. See, I want a rough neck nigga on the tongue. Like
with his...
That's not
yo,
how
you know
not
what?
How words
you
work.
Know what? You know what?
That's not how words work.
I'm gonna break the ice today.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people, but you're definitely right. That was the first idea of it.
Duh.
What was it?
A lot of people don't know that, but
his word on the tongue means on your tongue.
Yeah. So I'm like,
wait, I'm confused.
Oh my God. Now you confused.
I just
now.
Want a rough neck nigga on a tongue.
I always thought this whole time
he just wanted semi-automatic with a drum. Ask me if I'm finished. Not that whole line was about foreplay.
Oh yeah.
Ask me if I'm finished. Nah, bitch. I just begun. I ain't giving out no 90 to no nigga just for fun. Are you dumb? But that's a whole foreplay line.
Him giving or you giving?
I just
her giving on the tongue.
But honestly, it goes for both. But the first thought of it was, yeah. But it goes for both. It's foreplay. The
close
whole
your
first,
mouth. Close your mouth.
Yo, I'm first bars, shot right now.
The first four bars is foreplay.
I knew it was foreplay. I looked at it as receiving.
But it's a back and forth, though.
No, ask
it's
me.
All you giving.
I just want a rough neck nigga on a tongue. He just want a semi-automatic with a drum. Ask me if I'm finished. Nah, we just begun. I ain't giving out no 90s and no nigga just for fun. Are you dumb? Like, we ain't here for no reason.
Got it. Got it.
You got it now? You got it now?
You should have did the genius little breakdown. Like,
I no, but I tried to keep it, but you know that I tried to keep it PG, you know? So, yeah.
Well, you did a good job of that. Can you tell us, what are you looking for as a man? What is Lola looking for? Is it just that?
Reinsurance. I want to feel protected, even if he's not around. I want a gentleman and, of course, a gangster for sure. But a former gangster.
A reformed gangster.
Yeah. Understood.
I feel like that look and Don't Play With It, the music video, was just, mwah, chef's kiss. I love the bralette, the orange under eye. Like,
and that was before you had money. I feel like those be the best looks. What was the inspo?
Girl, I made that bra. I went to what is that spot called? M&J, I think. I don't know, but I went to a trimming. It's like a trimming store of just different things. I brought patches. I brought some fabric glue. I had a denim. That bra was like a bikini denim bra. I put the patches on there. That's why I had like the taxi and State of Liberty and all that on there. And then the shorts was like pants. I cut them. And then it was May. So, you know, when New York, once it was cold, but once May come, New Yorkers be like, oh, yeah, let me put on my summer fit. So that's why I look like I'm hot and everybody else look like they.
That's your language. Now she's speaking your language.
I know. I love the creativity.
Now
that's
I like
dope.
To make clothes, too.
Yeah.
I knit.
See, I mean, I get that from my mom, though. Like, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just make this from scratch. And then I'm on a budget. Like, I got some old pants that I don't wear no more. Cut them up, put them into shorts.
You don't do that now, though.
I still do it.
She came in with a custom Avirex. Oh.
But see, hold on. Yeah, but I'm small. I can't. It swallows me.
Mm-hmm. We like it. We're here for it.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I shop anywhere and then just make it look good. Like, I'm not really caught off materialistic things, for sure. I mean, I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like materialistic things, but I'm not the artist where if I don't have a particular certain name brand to wear or anything, I'll come in the studio or come here with sweats and a white beat on and I'll be straight.
Are you people proud of you?
Very proud.
Okay, that's what it is.
Very proud. Very proud. More than me. Shit.
Well, salute to your team, 80 and them, because yes. they work hard. So salute to everybody over there.
And salute to you, Lola Book.
And salute to Lola.
I really want that to be
Lola
the new
Book.
Name.
Lola I Book. I like that.
And it's just the beginning. That's the beauty of it.
That's right.
Yes, it's just the beginning. I'm just grateful to be here.
Sav ain't called me since that first record, too, by the way. He ain't called me no more.
Do you feel pressure?
That's a lie. That's a lie. He called me every damn day. He called me every damn day.
Do I feel pressure? No, because my expectations for Don't Play With It wasn't what it is right now. I mean, I felt good about the record, but I didn't know that the record was going to be a hit. I thought it was just going to be legendary in the city of New York City. Mm-hmm. But I'm not pressured. Mm-hmm. I've been putting out music for so long, and the song went crazy the next 2 years. So if I put out something today and it don't go crazy the next 6 months, I ain't tripping about it because I know the next 2 years.
It could.
Gotcha. So I got that blessing to know like that is possible. So I'll be taking it easy and I just keep it as therapy for me. It's just therapeutic.
There you go.
What does your mom say now?
My mom's so excited. She's, oh my God. I'd be like, Mom, okay, it's not that serious. She'd be like, girl, you crazy? You is a celebrity. You is a star. You're talented. And I'd be like, oh, man, come on, Mom. But she was, my mom's was down from the start. Like, she's the reason I resigned from my job. Wow. She's the reason I got the job. No. See, that was my first job. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the last job that I had before I pursued this rap career was residential aid at a shelter.
Oh, word.
And my mom was a supervisor. Well, I'm a shelter baby, so... Mm-hmm. She worked her positions in the shelter. I ended up being old enough to work in the shelter. She got me a job there. And I remember coming home from studio. I would come home from studio like 6 in the morning, and I had to be to work at 8. So I get in 6, I get ready, get shower and dress, no sleep, leave out 7, get there for 8. I had to take a bus to 2 trains. Job was in Queens. And she would just, I could tell like she felt for me. She like, listen, I don't know. If you feel like you want to resign from the job, you can. Like, you got my full support. And that's all I needed to hear, because I'm like, listen, my mom's don't play. She got me this job, and who am I to say I don't want it no more because I want to pursue something else?
Wow.
But she was the reason why I resigned. But I ain't burn that bridge. I resigned from my job. I didn't quit. Mm. I resigned.
But also, too, that gives you real purpose and intention, because like you said, you was a shelter baby.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you know what those kids are lacking and what they need. Now you got the resources, you can go back and provide.
Yep. Yes, that's my plan for sure.
Well, Dennis's Daughter is out right now. Make sure y'all go get it, and we appreciate you for joining us, Lola.
Big Lola.
Yes.
Uh-uh.
It's Lola Brooke. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita Liliana Montenegro,
esa soy yo,
play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.